I love the memory verse that has been chosen for the month of June, and I would really encourage you to memorize this verse. It's one that could be easily memorized by each of us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We need the truth of this verse in our heart, simply because Satan wants us to doubt our salvation. He wants us to worry. He wants us to fear as to where we're going to spend eternity at. He wants no peace in our heart concerning our eternal destiny. God, on the other hand, wants us to have confidence. He wants us to have peace of mind. He wants us to have assurance of salvation through Jesus. That's why he gives us verses such as this, Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation. Can you say that with me? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, you don't have to fear the judgment. You don't have to have a dread in your heart about when you die or when Jesus returns, what's going to happen with you. Heaven is promised to you. It's promised to every person who is in Christ Jesus. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, then your sins are paid for. He is your ticket into heaven. You look at the context of this verse, there's that very famous passage of Scripture at the end of Romans chapter 7. Paul is saying, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And we can relate with Paul in that. We are all sinners. We have fallen short of God's perfect will for our life. And try as we may, we still sin. We still fall short of His will. And we know there is that penalty for sin that is hanging over our head. The wages of sin is death. We understand that we deserve hell. But Paul goes on to say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's because of Jesus that there is no condemnation. Because of what He has done on the cross, we have eternal security. I want to ask you, are you in Christ? Have you surrendered yourself to Jesus? Have you given Him your heart and been forgiven by Him? If that is the case, if you are in Him, then you have no condemnation hanging over your head. You have reason for peace. But if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never trusted in Him as your Savior and been baptized into Him, having your sins washed away, then you have reason to worry. You have reason to fear. In fact, I don't know how you lay your head on the pillow at night to go to sleep, because eternity is a long, long time. There's no end to eternity. And without Jesus, one's eternity is going to be a terrible, terrible thing. But it doesn't have to be that way. God has given to us His Son to die in our place. Therefore, there is no condemnation for the one who is in Christ Jesus. Would you read this verse with me, please? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you don't already have that verse memorized, please work on that during this month of June. If you are in Christ, then you are in His body. You are a part of His body. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. If you were here last week, you might remember that I said to you we were going to jump into a new mini-series entitled, What is the Truth About the Church? And over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. Today's topic, the church is the body of Christ. And throughout Scripture, there are several metaphors used to help us understand the church better. One of those metaphors that is used multiple times is the body. And I'd like to read to you some of those passages of Scripture that reference the church as the body of Christ. The first one is Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him, this is Jesus, God gave Jesus as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Jumping over to chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verses 11 and 12 of that same chapter. And He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of what? The body of Christ. Verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And I'll read to you one final passage here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. He, this is speaking of Jesus, He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. Now, I know that is a lot of Scripture to read, but I don't ever want to get to a point where I apologize to you for reading Scripture in a sermon. Because that's why we're here. We're here to gather and worship to Him and to hear what He has to say to us through His Word. And so as we read through these assortment of Scriptures today, we've seen that the church oftentimes is referenced as the body of Christ. And in fact, I've actually left out the longest passage of Scripture that references the church as the body of Christ, and that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You ought to read that. This is the Word of God, and we want to hear what He has to say to us, and He's very clear in these passages that His church, the church, is the body of Jesus. So what can we learn from that metaphor? First of all, Jesus is the head of the body. He's the boss. He's the Lord over the church. Just as our head leads our body, so Christ leads the church. Last night, as I was getting ready to go to bed, I set the alarm because my head told me to. I set the alarm for 10 minutes after 5. And when the alarm went off this morning, my body was protesting. But my head was saying, get up. Come on, get up out of bed. And so my body obeyed the orders from the head, because the head is in charge of the body, isn't it? I got into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I think I need to wash my face because my head told me to. And I had to get every hair in place because my head told me to do that. And I sat down at the breakfast table and I ate some cereal because my head told me to do that. And my eyes and my hands and my elbow and my several muscles were all coordinating together to eat that bowl of cereal because my head gave instructions for all of that to happen. You see, the members of my body carry out the orders that are given to it by the head. Wouldn't it be good if we as the members of Christ's body carried out His instructions to that degree? The head knows best. We get ourselves into trouble if we start thinking that we know best more than Him. If the head says, don't touch that hot burner, but the hand says, oh, I think I know best, and we reach out and touch that burner, then trouble's going to happen. If the head says, you better be careful as you run in that circular saw and that hand's not in a good place, if we listen to the head, then things are going to be okay. But if the hand decides that it wants to do its own thing, there's going to be trouble. And so it is with the church and the members of the body of Christ. When the head gives instructions, the members of the body needs to listen. The members of the body needs to obey the instructions from the head. As the head says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. It's best that we do that because the head knows best, and His way is right. And when the head says, turn the other cheek and walk the extra mile, you know what? It's better if we obey the head, because the head knows best. His way is better than our way. And when the head says, love your neighbor and forgive your offender and pray for those who curse you, it's best that we do what the head says, because the head knows best. His way is better than our way. It only makes sense that the members of the body try to carry out the instructions of the head, whether that has to do with how we're spending our money or how we're interacting with our family members and neighbors or how we hold on to our integrity as we do business. The head always knows best. And so we, as members of the body, need to have our ears and our heart open to the instructions of the head of the body. Here's the second point as we think about the church being the body of Christ. There are many different members in the body. And obviously that's true with our human body. There is such great adversity or diversity. There's such great diversity within the members of the human body. There's the eyeball, and the nose, and there's the elbow, and there's the shoulder, and there's the knee, and we could just go on and on listing the different members of the human body. The diversity of the human body is amazing. And so, too, the diversity of the church, the Lord's body, is amazing. I mean, just look around the room this morning. There's men here, and there's women, and there's boys, and there's girls. There's young, and there's old. And right here, even in the number that we have today, there's white-collar, and there's blue-collar people. There's Republicans, and there's Democrats, and this is one thing I wish we had more diversity of, and that's skin color. But you look at the diversity of the Lord's church worldwide, there's all different kinds of skin color in the Lord's body. There's educated and there's not so educated. There's rich and there's poor. There's farmers and there's bankers and there's teachers and carpenters and plumbers and artists. And there's musically inclined people. And there's people like me that can't even clap and sing at the same time. This morning as we were singing, and my wife, you know, she likes to clap, and I'm thinking, oh no. You know, and I start trying to clap, but it doesn't take three or four beats before I'm off from where she's at. But that's okay. There's diversity within the Lord's church. There's doctors, and there's probably one or two politicians, you know, worldwide, you know, and no, I'm teasing. No nationality has the lock and key to the body of Christ. Revelation 7, John got a glimpse of the crowd that is in heaven, and it says, there was a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and tongues and peoples. The body of Christ is the most diverse group ever assembled, simply because the head of the body loves everybody. He does not play favorites. He desires everybody to be saved, and he has made that possible through his own blood. We should pray for more diversity within this body. And we should be open to more diversity than what we have within this body of believers. Let me give to you a third point. Amidst the diversity, there is unity. And this is such an obvious thing with the human body. My elbow is quite a bit different than my hands and my fingers, but this morning with that bowl of cereal, they were working right together, allowing me to eat that cereal for breakfast. And sometimes my back gets an itch, and my head sends a message to my fingers and my elbow and my arm and the different muscles, and I'm trying to figure out a way to get that itch scratched. And those parts of the body, each of them are different. They are diverse from one another, but they're working together in unity to try and get that job done. There is unity amidst the diversity. You know, if I drop my phone on the floor and I want to get it, there's several parts of the body that are having to work together, aren't there? There's the knees, and there's several muscles up and down the back and the legs and my hands and my fingers. They're all coordinating together for me to be able to reach down to the floor and get that phone. And my eyes are working there. And all of that, the brain, the head, is sending instructions to these diverse members of the body to work together to get the job done. Isn't that how it's supposed to be in the Lord's church, the body of believers? Amidst our diversity, we have unity. Though we are different from one another, we have a single purpose. Carter was talking about purpose a while ago as he was giving the communion meditation. Our purpose as body, as members of the body of Christ, our purpose is to give Him glory. And each of us are different from one another. We don't have to be the same as each other, but we have a similar purpose. We have a purpose to glorify God. If you get different publications from the church, the newsletter, even your bulletin, if you look on the front of your bulletin this morning, you'll see three words. Every week, those same three words are there. Love, live, lift. And the leadership of this church, I don't know how long ago it was before I was here, the leadership of this church came together and they decided these three words, we want to use these words to help us understand our purpose. We are to love God, we are to live for Jesus, and we are to lift others up. And amidst our diversity that we have in this local body of believers, this is what we are attempting to do. This is what we are encouraged to do under the direction of the head of the body. Because these three words are very scriptural. They tie in very well with what Scripture says is our purpose. We are to love God, we are to live for Jesus, and we are to lift others up. And so under the direction of the head, amidst our diversity, we are to have unity in purpose. How about this? Number four, each member has a function. And this is true in the physical body. It's true in the spiritual body. My ring finger has a function, doesn't it? A lot more than that, obviously. Try and exist without that ring finger, though, and you'll know how important in a hurry that it is. My knee has a function. It bends. It helps me get up and down. A while back, even as far back as last September, I hurt my knee, and for several months, I realized how important that knee is to my getting around. I mean, you choose whichever member of your body to give attention to. That member of your body has a function. Our eyes have a function. Our ears have a function. Every member of your body has a function. You know, for years, there was a thought that the appendix was useless. But that opinion has changed as more research has been done. The appendix helps with the immune system. And it serves as a safe house for beneficial bacteria. I read that on the internet this week. Can we live without it? Yeah, obviously we can. A lot of folks are without their appendix, but we're better off with it and with it functioning the way that God intended for it to function. Just as every member of the human body has a function, so too every member of the Lord's church, every member of the Lord's body has a function. And you, as a member of that body, you need to realize you have a function. We need to discover that function and fulfill that function. You say, I really don't know what my function is. Well, start by praying about that. And start by doing some research and some study as to the spiritual gifts that are available to us through the Holy Spirit and what those spiritual gifts are and what they do. And Ask people around you, what do you think my spiritual gift is? Oftentimes, somebody will see it before you see it. Do some research and just explore that. Find out what your spiritual gift is, and then begin to utilize that spiritual gift. Use it to build up the body of believers. Maybe your gift is the gift of encouragement. We could never have too many encouragers here in the Lord's body. Maybe your gift is the gift of service. We could never have too many servants in the Lord's body. VBS is coming up. Starts a week from today. That Sunday evening, June 12th. Talk to one of the VBS directors. Just show up. If you can't find one of those directors to talk with them ahead of time, just show up and find a place of service. I bet we could plug you in. I've never seen a church with too many servants. I've never seen a church that has too many witnesses. I've never seen a church that has too many givers. I've never seen a church that has too many people working in the children's department. I've never seen a church that has too many people willing to cook meals and give to those who are in need. I've never seen a church that has too many people that are willing to lead and teach a small group. You see, every member has a function. And you might be saying, Kevin, you've not hit mine yet. I know you've not hit mine yet. Well, there's still gifts out there that I haven't touched on. But we need to know what our spiritual gift is and begin to function within that gift. And if you'll do that, you'll be a happy member of the Lord's church. And the Lord will be pleased with you. A non-functioning member is pretty close to being a dead member. And you might say, hey, you know, I used to be able to function as an active member, and now I just, you know, I've grown older and I can't do that. You can pray. I mean, that's a thing all of us could do. Is pray. There's no one that can be excused from functioning actively in the Lord's body. He has called us to serve Him faithfully. Let me give to you a fifth point. Each member gives support to the body. We're in this together, and we are for each other. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says that we have received gifts from the Spirit for the common good. In other words, your spiritual gift is not to build you up. It's not to make you feel all puffed up. It's not to help you feel good about yourself. Rather, your spiritual gift is to help others and to build them up. It's for the common good. And their spiritual gift is to help the body too. And so it's a give and give and give. And as we give, we always receive back. My spiritual gift is not to make me feel good. It's to build you up. It's for your common good. And when one member of the body is hurting, we all are to hurt with them. And certainly that's true with the physical body. If I'm hammering a nail and I hit the wrong nail, my whole body feels it. And this if I hit this nail right here, this hand is going to come to the rescue, and I'm going to dance around this stage because my nail is hurting. And It's exactly the picture of what Paul is saying. When one member of the body hurts, we all hurt with them. Because we're one body. And we love each other and we give support to each other. It's not just about us. It's about us as a group. And the same is true, too. When one member of the body is rejoicing, what do? We all rejoice with them. Because we are one body in Jesus. When one member of the body has an addition to their family, Mallory Emmett's first Sunday here, first Sunday at Reinhardt, when one member of the body is rejoicing, we all rejoice with them. We are in this together. Let me give to you one final point. If a member detaches from the body, it will die. You remember my illustration about the circular saw? If I don't move that finger and I cut my finger off with that circular saw because it didn't obey the instruction from the head, what's going to happen to that finger if I don't get it reattached? It's going to die. And your spiritual life, my spiritual life, will wither away and die if we detach ourselves from the body. That's why I said to you last week that trying to do Christianity apart from the church is not a good idea. We need each other. We need the life that comes from being a part of the body. And that's why Satan is so intent on getting you or me detached from the body. He wants to isolate us from the church. He wants to get us over here all by ourselves, severed from the church, for he knows his chances of enslaving you are much better if you're on your own rather than being connected to the body. Just like that finger. It gets detached from the body, it's going to die. The finger needs the body to have life. We are vulnerable if we're isolated from the body. If we are connected to the body, then the life of the body helps us to have life. So this argument that you hear people oftentimes use, I don't need to be a part of the church to be connected to the head. It's not a logical argument. I mean, it sounds good, but it doesn't make sense. Because every member of the body needs the body to have life. And we need to be connected to the head, we're connected to the body. And so as we talk about the church is the body of Christ. Oh, yeah. As we understand this human body, we can better understand the church. We need each other, and we need him. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to understand the church better as we take a look at the human body. Just take all of these points of application. Help us to function within the church. Help us to be for one another. And Lord, thank you that you have given your life for us, and that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.